the prayers of the saints. I just want to share with you, we are in our 50th year as a church. Woo! Woo! Come on! The church has been in Spalding for 50 years. It's seen some good times, it's seen some bad times, and it's been through it all. But the church of God is still here.
Yeah.
We as a church started in 1969. Wow. I had just started my apprenticeship after I left school as a carpenter joiner. So it started in 1969 by a crusade by Reverend Melvin Banks in the old co-op hall on the Winsover Road 50 years ago. And one of the people that got saved in that mission at that time, that evangelistic meeting, was Brenda Edwards. Wow. And she has been a member of this church since 1969. She is not able to attend us now because of ill health, but she is still there. I met her just after Christmas, and we said hello. And she would love to be here on our 50th anniversary. But it may be health issues that may not. But she is still loving God, honoring God with her life. Jubilee. It's a year of restoration, it's a year of release, it's a year of renewal, and the 50th year is called the year of Jubilee. Jubilee is actually a word come from Hebrews called Yobel, not Yodel, Yobel, and it actually means ram's horn trumpet. They used to proclaim anything that happened in the city with a ram's trumpet. And it's a year of Jubilee. And for us as a church, it's a year of Jubilee to proclaim the 50th year of the Lord, to release those that are captive, to set the people free, to renew and restore. I believe this year is going to be a great year for the church. Do you believe that, church? Come on, it's going to be a great year for us. And we've got to raise our expectations, as we said a couple of weeks ago. I believe it's going to be a great year for the church as a family. We are going to see the power of the Holy Spirit restore, release, renew us in His purposes. Are you ready, church, for that? Are you ready for the power of God to touch your life and transform you? I believe it is important. My verse that I have is from Leviticus, and it says this: "You shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land." We want to proclaim liberty through Spalding, don't we? And the surrounding areas. Liberty through the land and its inhabitants. It shall be a year of Jubilee for you. A great trumpet blowing out for us. Yeah? And each of us shall return to his possessions, and each of you shall return to his family. We are the family of God, and we want people to return to the God who possesses them, who made them. We want people to return to the family of God, and that is our purpose as a church, and we need to learn that. Firstly, I want to talk about, it's a year of restoration. Listen, it's a year. The 50th year was a year to restore to original state. Property was given back to the original owner. We must look to God to move this year. The lives of those that we meet are restored to God, who is the original owner of them. Every person on this planet belongs to God. He made them, He created them, and they belong to God. We want them to be restored back in relationship with God. And we can only do that by the power of God living in us. Job said this, and I'm sure some of us have felt this over the couple of years. "So I will restore to you the years the swarming locusts have eaten, and the crawling locusts, and the consuming locusts, and the chewing sort of..." Oh, all those locusts, of course, there's a lot. You know why God said this to the people of Israel? They had sinned, and He had taken them out of where they were, and now He was restoring them to where He wanted them there. "You shall eat in plenty." You want to be satisfied? We were satisfied when we had the party, didn't we? We were full. We were satisfied. We want to be satisfied with God. We want to be satisfied with the Holy Spirit living in us. And praise the name of the Lord, your God, and you shall dwell with wonder, who has dealt with you wondrously with you. And my people shall never, never be put to shame. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't care what the people say out there. The gospel of Jesus Christ sets the captives free. And we want to see a release in our town. And I believe that. I believe we are going to see a restoration of things that we lost. We may have lost some battles. Have you had some battles last year? We may have lost some battles. I tell you, victory's on the way. Victory's always on the way. We may have seen some promises that were given not coming to fruition. I believe that we are going to see a move of God as we've never, of the Holy Spirit, as we've never seen before. We believe we will see the prodigal sons and daughters return. We will see family members come back to Christ, health restored, finance restored. I am believing for a move of God and everything God has promised for us. Are you believing that, church? If I put that into your heart, that's what I want to do. We want to see this happen. We want it to come into fruition. And the only way that will come into fruition is by the power of the Holy Spirit living in us. God wants to restore everything that was stolen from your life. He wants to heal your every hurt and every pain through the years that you have faced. He wants to set you free from that. Our God is able, isn't he? In the same chapter of Joel, he prophesies about the future. And Joel says this. In the next couple of chapters, in chapter 2, he says, And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Are you flesh?
Yes.
He's going to pour out his spirit on you.
Yes.
Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Come on, sons and daughters, prophesy. Your old men, that's me, shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Come on, young men, let's have some visions of what God is doing. And my man servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I believe we're living in a great time.
Yeah.
I believe we're living. Don't look at the news, what the news is saying. Don't look at the way the world is. I believe God is going to do something awesome.
Yeah.
You know, we could get heavy-hearted by looking at the news. Listen, I've stopped watching the news because it makes you heavy-hearted. I want to look at what the Bible says about the end times. And it says he will pour out his spirit on all flesh in the last days. There was a prophecy given by Smith Wigglesworth earlier on in the 1920s. And he said there will be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which was the Pentecostal movement at that time. Then he said there will be an outpouring of another spirit, the charismatic movement that happened in the 70s. Then he said that is not the final outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He said there's going to come another Holy Spirit outpouring that will actually outrun all those. And I'm believing we're going to see that. I believe we're going to see that happen in our day and age. God can restore what is broken and change it into something amazing. All we need is faith to believe. Do you believe we can change this place?
Yes.
I believe we can. And I believe that God is already doing that in the hearts and lives of people we meet. Church, let us prepare ourselves, be ready for more the move of God in this community that we've never seen the like of before. Let us pray for a restoration for the kingdom of God, firstly in our own lives, our families, and then our community. We need to get ourselves right first. We need to restore ourselves into what God has for us. God is in the restoration business. Psalmist David said this in Psalm 23, verse 3. You probably know this pretty well. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He's going to restore us because of his name. His name is powerful. David, listen, David was in Psalm 51. David actually shares his heart with God because of the wrong things he's done. He'd been a naughty boy. He'd been messing around with Bathsheba and killed her husband. And then Nathan comes along, the prophet, and actually challenges him for what he had done. And he falls on his knees in repentance, and he writes this psalm, Psalm 51. And he goes on to say, create in me a clean heart, renew a steadfast spirit in me. Don't cast me aside. Please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Listen, we may have faced some tough times. We may have got it wrong. But God wants to create a clean heart in you. He wants to restore the Holy Spirit in you. And we need to understand that. Don't let the devil tell you other things. The devil will try and rob you of what God has for you. But God wants to restore you and create a clean heart in you to live right, walk right, talk right. Yeah? David prays, open my lips. You see, when we are in sin, we lose the passion to worship. And David says, open my lips, Lord, that I might praise you. Don't take your song from me. He says he lost his song because of the sin that came into that. We may sometimes lose our song, but we never will lose the joy of his salvation. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, David said. Uphold me by your gracious spirit. Isn't God gracious? Come on, I know God is gracious. I've messed up sometimes, but God is always gracious and always brings me through because I press on to the high calling of what God has called me to. And I have to press on. I cannot give in. Listen, David in the next verse says, he will teach. Listen, when you are restored, when you are released in God, you want to go and restore others. David says in that psalm, in the next couple of verses, he says, I will teach the transgressors God's way. Sinners will convert to God. Amen. Hey, that's us. When we are restored, we want to tell transgressors God's way, and then we restore them to God. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Let's get excited about this. God is good. We need to come to Jesus in repentance, confession, forsaking all our sin. We need to pray that the cords that are broken may vibrate once more. And not only that, we pray that God will restore the joy of his salvation in our hearts and lives when we reach that point. God restores. Listen. I forgot that bit. Restoration brings transformation. When you are restored by God, I guarantee you, you will be transformed into something different. I don't want to miss that one. That's important. Restoration brings transformation. We need to come to Jesus in repentance, confession, forsaking our sin, and we need to pray that God will release his power and the joy of his salvation will be in our hearts and lives. God restores everything when we submit the broken pieces of our lives to him. He restores us to beauty far more than we ever prayed for. God is abundantly, abundance pour out his love upon us when we repent. Chuck Swindoll said this, God is a master at turning devastation into restoration. Isn't he? God is a master at that. Changes life. Restoration begins in the house of God. It doesn't begin out there. It begins here. And then, and in his people first. I want to see the Lord, let this year, this is my proclamation, let this year your mighty arm is shown. And your power is displayed amongst us and through us. Let this be the year that your arm is shown. Secondly, a year of release. You want to be released? God is in the business of releasing. In the Old Testament, the 50th year was a year of release. Those who were slaves were set free to go from their servanthood. And, you know, we mustn't look at the slavery in the Bible as in the slavery of America where they had the slaves in those days. That wasn't the type of slavery that Bible is talking about. And slaves were well looked after and were honor to serve their master. And if a slave wanted to leave after the 50th year, they were set free. They could go and do what they like after the 50th year. They were set free. But if a slave wanted to stay, and I want to stay with Jesus, I want to be a slave to Jesus. And the Bible talks about the slave coming to the master and say, pierce my ear. They used to take a nail and pierce their ear to a doorpost. And that was a sign of that I will serve you forever. Brothers and sisters, we need to serve the Lord forever. Lord, pierce my ear that I will serve you forever. I believe we're going to see a great year of release, setting the captives free from sin and brought into the kingdom of God, into a true freedom in Christ our Lord and Savior, who forgives all our sin. Not a little bit, all our sins. This is a quote from Isaiah. I know Jesus quoted it later on. The Spirit of the Lord of God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to open the prisons to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes and an oil of joy for mourning. Amen. And a garment of praise in the spirit of heaviness. You see, the way to get rid of the heaviness is to worship.
Yeah,
praise Him. Praise God. That's the way to get rid of the heaviness in your spirit. When you start to worship and praise Him, God becomes the center of your life and the heaviness disappears. And we need to understand, Jesus quoted this in Luke 4, verses 16 to 20. I believe as a disciple of Jesus Christ, we are all called to do the same as this, to proclaim liberty, to preach the gospel, to set the captives free. And you know, this is what we are called for. This is why we are disciples of Jesus Christ. We're not just here to have a good time and a bless me club. We're here for the church outside. We're here for the people that are going to a lost eternity. That's what we're here for. And, he says, heal the brokenhearted. Set at liberty those that are bound. Set and comfort all those who are mourning. Church, that is our purpose. As a child of God, to bring freedom to those who are caught in a trap of the enemy, the father of lies, and that Satan.
Yeah.
Are you ready to set the captives free?
Yes.
Listen, you don't have to be an evangelist.
No.
You don't have to be a great preacher. All you have to be is a disciple of Jesus Christ and share what God has done in you.
Yes.
Listen. When I was working for social services, they used to talk about their weekend and what they'd done, all the fun they had in the pub. And they used to say to me, what have you done? I said, I went to church, had a great time. And they sort of looked at me, what, a great time in church? I said, yeah, great time in church. Why are we so ashamed of preaching the gospel to those that are lost? At work, don't moan about your work. You've been put there for a reason. You've been put there because God has put you there. And He wants you to share the gospel with those that you are working with. And, I get tired of Christians coming to me, oh, I really don't like my work. I really don't. Listen, God has put you there until He moves you on. So enjoy it and perform the miracle that God has called you to do in that place. There is a reason you are there. Maybe it's to change your character. Maybe it's to make you stronger. It's a reason, okay? So never moan about your work where you are. Do the best you can for God where you are and restore and release the power of God in your workplace. Do you want your family and friends and neighbors and community set free? It will happen when we win the battle in the heavenlies. Listen, the battle is always in the heavenlies. In Ephesians, we read this. It says this, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So our fight isn't against the people that we meet. Our fight is against the heavenly realms. We don't argue with those that are our friends and that. It's not their fault they are like that. They're like that because the God of this world has blinded their eyes. And our fight isn't against them. Our fight is against principalities and powers. And the only way we're going to win that is through prayer. Definitely. To release those that are bound, we need to win the battle in the heavenlies. And that's on our knees in prayer. Church, we got to get serious about prayer. Prayer is the most powerful thing to change our community.
Yeah, it is.
And we need to get serious about it. I'd rather have this much congregation in our prayer meeting than on a Sunday morning.
Amen.
I'll tell you why. Because there's prayer, power in the prayer.
Yes.
So let's get serious. Listen, when I gave my life to Jesus many years ago, I must have been dinosaur time. Many years ago, all I wanted to do was tell my friends about Jesus.
Yeah.
All I wanted to do was, and listen to this, not on a Sunday morning, I wanted to be in the prayer meeting. Because I know when we had the prayer meeting in the old Hounslow church, the guys at the front, I wanted to sit with them. Because they were full of the anointing, full of power, and when they prayed, boy, did they pray. It wasn't a weak word. And I wanted to be there because I wanted some of that glory to fall on me. I knew if I was there, God's that anointing is going to pour out onto me. Listen, get to somebody who can pour out the anointing upon your life and it will change you. Okay, find friends that are going to actually help you, encourage you, and release you into the things of God. Don't mess about with friends that are going to take you down the wrong path. Be with those that are going to encourage you, strengthen you, and release you into what God has for you. We are coming up to a week of prayer. Make every effort, church, to be here. You know, it'd be great to see this hall filled with people praying for our town. Every night is going to be a different theme, but we won't need to pray for our community, for our churches. Every church in this community needs the touch of the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, we need a transformation in our community, in our town. And, you know, we're not saying we're exclusive. We're thinking if we are blessed, they are blessed.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's good.
That is important. You know, we're not just here for us. We're here as a church for everyone. And we are one church. Don't say, oh, well, that's the Baptist. We are one church. One body. God only sees one body. You know, we see many different things, but God only sees one. And that's his church. We have a week of it. I do believe that we can release the power of God over this town. Oh, I'm getting excited now. I believe we can release the power of God over this town and the kingdom of God. And, you know, those that are bound will be set free. Let's get serious, church. If we want to see anything happen, it's going to happen through the church praying on its knees. When we release everything to God in faith, he will do things that will leave our mouth open in awe. I want my mouth open in awe. I want to see people healed. I want people set free. I want to see those that are ill set free from their illness. I want to see that. And I want to, you know, just stand back in amazement of what God is doing. Do you want that, church?
Yeah.
Let's raise our expectations. We must first release everything to God to set us free. I think, Keith, you always quote something that I'm going to say. That's wonderful. So, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. If you have given your life to Jesus, if you have asked him into your life as Lord and Savior, you are free indeed. Okay? There's nothing that God can do anymore because he has set you free. Then it's up to you to live by his commandments. He's not going to force you to live by his commandment. We are not robots. We have been given a choice to live by his commandments. And we need to live by it. I love it the way the Amplified Bible puts it. So if the Son liberates you, are you liberated, church? Makes you free men and women, then you are really unquestionably free from everything. That's God. Isn't he good? We are unmistakably, undeniably set free from the past, all the hurts, all the disappointments. We have been completely released from it through the power that is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. When we walk in confidence that Jesus has set us free, we have the power of God within us to set those around us free. If we are bound ourselves, how can we set anyone else free? We can't. We need to release ourselves so that we can help others. Church, I want you to stand. I don't usually do that. I'm not on my last point yet, but I will get to. Let's stand. I want you to say this prayer after me and believe it in your heart, okay?
Dear Heavenly Father,
in the name of Jesus, I come to you today. I choose to release everything to you that has tied me and held me back. I release the past. I release the bitterness. I release the failures and the missed opportunity. Instead, I embrace your grace and power to boldly move forward into the blessings you have for me. In the name of your Son, the name that sets us free, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Be released, church. Amen. Amen. Take your seats. Last one. A year of renewal. The 50th year was a year of renewal. Personally, I am seeking God for a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. My heart's desire is to see a new move of the Holy Spirit amongst us and through us. Listen, we need new experiences every day. When I got saved in the old Hounslow Church, I got saved in the upper room and I gave my heart to Jesus and I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I floated down those stairs. Listen, I can't live on that experience. It has to be a new experience every day. So the Holy Spirit needs to renew me every day. I need to be full of the Holy Spirit every day because we leak, don't we? And we need to be full of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians says this. It says this, and do not be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Addressing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Give thanks always and everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are not to be like the world, drunk and off our head. I see them all on a Friday night or a Saturday night when I'm out streeting. They're off their head. That is not what God wants us to be. God wants us to be full of the Holy Spirit. I tell you, if you drunk with the Holy Spirit, you won't want to touch the other stuff. Because God fills you with something that is even more powerful than that bottle that you might pick up. Listen, God wants us to be different. God wants us to be different than the world. We're not to be like the world. We're not to act like the world. We're supposed to be called out. It says, be ye separate, be ye holy as I am holy. That means you need to be different from the world. You know, how can anybody look at you and say, oh, I think I'll become a Christian when you act the same way they are? Because you're no different. I've had friends say to me, you know, when I was a young Christian and I was a bit naughty, they said, well, they haven't done much for you. That changed me. I said, I can change. If I want to win my friends, I've got to change. Right. You know, it's important that we understand that we cannot live like the world. We are called out once. Yes. We have been called out of the world into the kingdom of heaven. Yeah. My time's going. I get too excited. Yeah. Being filled with the Spirit is an ongoing experience. It's not a one-off thing.
No.
Paul said that we must be continually being filled and renewed in our lives every day. Brothers and sisters, let me encourage you. I've said this before. Speak in tongues for 15 minutes. If you're not filled with the speaking in tongues, ask God to fill you, and he will. You know, and it's important that you understand that. Paul says in Romans 12, he says this, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. So what's acceptable to God? That you are holy. He said, be ye holy as I am holy. That is acceptable to God.
Yeah.
Which is your spiritual worship. That is our worship.
Yeah.
You know, if you've been transpired by the power of God, your worship should display the holiness of God.
Yes.
Your life should display the holiness of God. Do not be conformed to this world, as I said before, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That our mind has to be renewed by this book here.
Amen.
It's a life-giving book. Somebody said it's a Bible is a biblical instruction before leaving earth.
Believer's
instruction, that's it. It's our instruction before leaving earth. How are we going to get to heaven? We need to put it into practice. And he goes on that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect.
Yeah.
We have to live a different life.
Right.
We have to walk differently if we want to see God move in our community and our town. We must present ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy, so that we are transformed and our minds are renewed by the will of God. We need to be renewed. I believe it means to stay fresh in our experience in every day. In Christ Jesus, we must not remain where we are in Christ, but we must move forward into something new every day, every month, every year. Listen, if you are still the same, and you've been on the road for 40 years, there's something wrong. There should have been a transformation in your life. Let the Holy Spirit renew your thoughts. David said this, I quoted this earlier. This is important to us. Create this year, I believe, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. I believe all of us need to ask God to create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit in us. Isaiah said, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings. Hey, wouldn't it be good to soar? Do you want to soar in Christ?
Yeah.
Get filled with the Spirit. Get filled with the power of God. Hunger after Him. You know, spend time. Listen, I learned a long time ago, when there's problems, go and pray in tongues for 15 minutes. And when you come out, the problem doesn't seem that bad. Because God has lifted you up. He's strengthened you. And you mount up with wings as eagles. You run and you're not weary. And they shall walk and not faint. People say to me, how you keep going? That's how I keep going.
Amen.
People saying you're doing too much. No. I'm doing what the God called me to do.
Yeah.
And He gives me strength each day to do it.
Right.
You need to understand that. In the Old Testament, the 50th year was a year of Jubilee. And the land was given rest.
Yeah.
It was given rest. Listen, there is time to wait upon the Lord, a resting time, to renew our strength. Same as in the 50th year of Jubilee, they rested the land from producing them. In the same way, we must wait and rest upon the Lord so that our strength is renewed to carry on with the tasks that God has called us. I believe every one of us in this church have a task for God. Whatever that is, get on and do it. Listen, don't look to me to tell you what to do. Look to Him to tell you what to do. I'm not here to tell you what you do. The Bible told me a long time ago, I'm not here to lord it over my God's heritage. I'm here to serve you and to actually help you to get into your role, your ministry. True renewal is falling in love with Jesus again. Just fall in love with Jesus again. Don't be like the Laodicea church that lost its love in Revelation. Jesus turned to him and said, you've lost your love, first love. Just fall in love with Jesus. Just love Him every day. And I tell you, you will renew your strength as you love Jesus. There's nothing wrong with loving the creator of you. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing funny about that. I just love Jesus. And if anybody asks me, I'll say, I love Jesus. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans of welfare and not of evil. To give you hope and a future. That's my God. So why do we mess about with the things of God when God has said, I've got a future plan for you guys. I love you so much. I want to do good to you. I want to help you along the way. I want to make sure that you fulfill your potential that you're put on this earth for. There's a reason you're here. It's to fulfill God's kingdom in your life. God's work. If we want renewal in our homes, in our towns, in our cities, in our nation, in our world, it must begin with us. You and me. I'm not just preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself. I want something new from God. I don't want the same old. Do you?
No.
We want something different. I don't know about you, but I want to see God's presence break into this church in all His glory. But that will happen and that will only happen when the church truly repents. Church, we have to repent. Why aren't we seeing a move of God? Because the church is like the Laodicea church, has lost its love. First love. Too busy with programs, too busy with this, too busy with that, and not really busy with the kingdom of God. We need to actually have a balance of everything. Let God's Spirit come into our hearts and life. Church, let it be a year of restoration in us as individuals, as families, and as a church. Do you want that, church? It's a commitment. It's a sacrifice. I know it's a sacrifice. There are things that I've sacrificed to serve God. I had a blooming good job, but I served God. Because God called me, and I had to make that move. Otherwise, I wouldn't be walking in God's purposes. A year of release for us in this town. Yeah, in our town. Listen, somebody, we were out Friday night, and some kids decided to have a fight with some black bags and hit each other over the head with these black bags. Well, it's better than hitting each other with fists, I suppose. And the rubbish was all over the floor. And we went to one of the nightclubs, Bentley's, and we said, could we borrow a broom? And he said, what do you want a broom for? I said, well, my town's messy. I want to clear it up. So they brought some bags for us, and we, me and Marion cleared up our street outside Bentley's where they made the mess. And you know what? They came out and gave us cups of coffee. They said, hey, yeah, thank you for doing that. It's just an act of kindness to our town. I love my town. I don't want it to be messy. I want God's power to be in our town. And the taxi drivers were laughing at us for clearing out. He said, oh, that's a council job. I said, no, it's my town. I want to see the release of God's power in our town and in us. I want to see the renewal of us, to see the power, a year of renewal, the power of the Holy Spirit and the glory of God displayed within us. Do you want that, church?
Yes.
Do you want that? My heart's desire is that we all hunger and thirst for the things of God, for the righteousness of God to live in us and through us. I'm just going to pray a prayer over all of us. You can accept it or you can't. You don't have to accept it, but choice is yours. But once you make that choice to accept what Christ wants for you, you need to move into that. Don't dilly-dally around, waiting for a lightning bolt to hit you. God's already told you what to do. Go and tell the world. Share your story. He's already told you what to do. In fact, Jesus said, go make disciples, not followers, disciples. Go make them. You know, we are called. Yes, it's great to get together as a church. It's great to worship God together. And that's important. But we have a much bigger job. God has called us to be witnesses where we are, in our workplaces, in our neighborhood, in our town, in our cities, in our nation. Wouldn't it be good? I'm praying for those counselors that came, that they will come to know Jesus Christ. They've only come because of friendship with me. You have to have friends outside the world to touch them. If you only got friends in the church, how are you going to reach the world? You need friends outside the church so you can share the love of Christ with them. I'm just sharing that with you. I know for a fact one of the counselors, when he first came to the street pastor meeting, he said, I ain't got much faith. 3 months down the line, after being at our meetings, he said, you lot have restored my faith. And he spoke at one of the street pastors' meeting, and he brought scripture. Wow. That's what God can do. You know, I said, my family, I got a wonderful card from my family at Christmas. God's done something in them. They wrote in my card to us, me and Marion, may God bless you and may He fulfill everything you desire in the coming year. So something's happened in them. We can make a difference. We can make a difference. Let's just stand. I'm just going to pray over you, church. Father God, we thank you that you are in the restoration business. You restore us. And Lord, then you release us from all those things that bind us. Set us free, Lord. And renew a right spirit in us that we will serve you. This year, Lord, may we fall in love with your Son Jesus all over again. To be set free from the things that hold us back. To fill us anew with the Holy Spirit. To make a difference. Oh God, we got that sign up there at the back. The lighthouse making a difference. Let us be a difference in our town.
Yes.
I believe that's been prophetic over us for the last, when we put it up, 2008. We put that up. That's a prophetic. The lighthouse making a difference. To make a difference wherever we are, at home, work, school, in our churches, in our communities, in our families. We pray that the windows of heaven will be open and your glory, O God, will fill this place and our town. We hunger and thirst after righteousness of God. We hunger and thirst for your Holy Spirit.
Yes.
That we will preach the good news to heal the brokenhearted, set at liberty those that are bound by sin, and comfort those that are mourning. That we will put on the garments of praise and bring liberation to those that we meet. God, I pray for every single person here that you will touch them, that you will renew them. Let this be a year of restoration. Let this be a year of release. Let this be a year of renewal in every single person here today. In the mighty name of Jesus, I ask this. Lord, we hunger and thirst for you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Year of Jubilee, 50th year of the church. Wow. Some churches don't survive that long.
It's true. It's very true.
We have a year of Jubilee, celebration weekend. I want you to put that in your diaries. We've got some fantastic speakers coming that weekend. It's going to be a weekend of celebration and giving thanks to God for all he's done for us as a church. So please put that in your diaries. And put that to one side. It'll be a Saturday and a Sunday morning. We've got some really good speakers coming that will actually impart into our hearts what God wants for us and this town. God bless you, church. Have a great week. Go and share Jesus with those you meet. That's a good quote. Go and say Jesus with those you meet. God bless you, church.
Thank you, Pastor Chaz, for sharing that this morning. Always good, always good. We're going to take our tithes and offerings unto the Lord as part of our act of worship unto God this morning. So as we just come to a close, we're going to sing, what could we sing? Everlasting God. He will give us strength to rise on wings like eagles. As we wait upon the